Father, I want to thank you for giving us the blessings that you have in life, especially right now at this time in Earth's history. You have given us an opportunity to live and to understand a little bit more today about what you're saying, what you're teaching. We want to be able to be faithful to you above everything and anyone else. We know that you are a faithful guide and master. We want you to be Lord and God as well. Please continue to lead and strengthen us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be together, and do bless us as we consider what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What we've seen so far is some of the questions that have come in. The first one that I'm going to talk about was actually the one that came in the most. One next to another. In the Bible, Revelation chapter 1:4, here we go. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And so this idea of seven spirits, that's what was questionable. People were asking, what are the seven spirits that are before the throne? Now, in this case, I'm going to highlight the words seven spirits, because people are wondering, what are these seven spirits? What does it mean? And so I want you to notice here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, we're talking about the one which is, which was, and which is to come. I believe that is God the Father. It is nobody else that is referring to God the Father. And then it talks about from the seven spirits. So another group, if you will, mentioned, there are seven spirits. And then from Jesus Christ in verse 5. And so there seems to be three groups, if you will, two individuals in one group that are referred to there in Revelation chapter 1. Now, so back to the Bible verses here, it seems that the Father is there, seven spirits are there, and Jesus is there. Now, the seven spirits, there, I used to believe something about the seven spirits, but since I've studied further, now I understand differently. My own personal study, and what that means is I, just like everybody, continue to change and understand differently. I pray that you, along with me and others, will be able to understand that God is way bigger than we understand as humans, but he has revealed wonderful things about himself and his ministry in his holy word. And so the more I study the word, the more I grow, the more I understand. So I used to, as a pastor in the denomination, understand certain things, and since then I've understood, I think, better and more clearly. Now, what I'm going to do here is take us to a study that will be able to, you'll be able to do a little bit more study on your own time. But if you go with me to the book or the website Revelation with Daniel, and you're seeing it now on your screen, if you go right here into this search section, I'm actually going to make it bigger so you can see it. Right here in the search section, if you were to click in there and you were to type seven spirits, you're going to be able to find seven spirits before his throne. Now, if you go to this study, you'll be able to see that there is a presentation entitled Seven Spirits Before His Throne. And that's something you can find on Facebook. If you were to click that, it'd take you directly to that video. You can actually hear it as well by clicking on this audio. But what I'm going to do now is just make this section bigger, and we're going to run through just a little bit of it, so that you can see what it is that I've been saying here in this study. There are a few references to the Greek word before. Now, this is in the Revelation. This is not all through the New Testament. This is the word before in the Revelation. So that's where I started, and I was quite surprised. It was this study that actually led me to be able to understand differently than what I used to understand as a pastor in the denomination. So what's been a real blessing to me is to be able to look at this word and see what is before his throne. And when you put a couple of verses together, you realize, wow, I thought it was seven spirits. It is seven spirits, but I understood it now in a different way. So notice, we've already read verse 4 of Revelation chapter 1. And so it's talking about him, which was, it's the seven spirits which are before his throne, and then Jesus Christ as well. So the Father, the spirits, and Jesus Christ. So we know the Father is the only one on the throne in Revelation chapter 4. In chapter 3, at the end, we learn that Jesus is the one that was able to receive the throne from his Father. Notice as we continue in Revelation 3, 5. Now, this is Jesus. I will confess the person's name, the one that overcomes. Jesus will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's pretty interesting. So what we see here is that Jesus confesses before the Father and the angels. So the Father and the angels. So we have in chapter 1, the Father, the spirits, and Jesus. In chapter 3, Jesus says, I'm going to confess your name if you overcome before my Father and the angels. And so you could say the angels are before the throne because Jesus is confessing your name, if you're an overcomer, before the Father and the angels. So let's get back to the study and see what happens. It says, as the Father is on the throne, Christ is confessing before his Father and those who are there with him, which is specifically referring to the angels. Now, what's interesting is the angels are referred to as spirits in chapter 1, verse 4. There's seven spirits. But we're going to see later in 8, verse 2, there's actually seven angels before the throne. Now, what's fascinating about angels and what the Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 4, you can say that, or see rather, that God has made his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire or a flaming fire. Wait a minute, there was tongues of flaming fire on the day of Pentecost. What's going on here? Notice what Hebrews chapter 1 says in verse 7. Of the angels, he basically quotes Psalm 104. Who maketh his angels spirits. And so these angels, his angels, are holy angels, and therefore they are holy spirits. But now let's be clear, because to be very sure, I want to highlight that one, the angels are not the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? I want to be very clear about that. The angels are not the Holy Spirit. So to be sure, the angels are not the Holy Spirit. They are holy spirits, though, and fallen angels are evil spirits. Wait a minute. Have you thought of that before? So we're not talking about the Holy Spirit of God being angels. No, absolutely not. We are talking about holy angels that are called holy spirits because the angels are spirits. Now, so in the same way, you have evil angels. Now, that doesn't mean the evil spirits are the evil spirit of Satan. No, they have the evil spirit of Satan, just like holy spirits or holy angels have the Holy Spirit of God. And so we must understand that nobody has ever said that I know of that the angels are the Holy Spirit. So, but just like there are evil spirits, there are holy spirits. So Hebrews 1:14 explains that the angels are sent forth, just as the seven spirits of God in Revelation 5, verse 6 are sent forth. In fact, I think it says later 5, verse 6. It doesn't. So I'm going to go to my Bible app, and I'm going to show you that in Revelation 5, verse 6, this phrase, sent forth, first I'll start right here. There stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. The seven horns and seven eyes are, so it explains, which are the seven spirits of God, and they are sent forth into all the earth. Okay? Now, I'm going to go right here on the top, and I'm going to do Hebrews 1:14, and together we're going to see these verses. There's Revelation 5, verse 6. The seven spirits of God are sent forth. And just as it says there that the seven spirits are sent forth, in the same way, the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. What I just want to show you quickly is, if I go to the bottom of my app here, if I pull it up so that we can see the Greek references, the word sent, if I hover over it, there's nothing there. So that's not a word in the original Greek. If I go over here to the word fourth, it's apostello. You can see it right there down in the lower area where the Greek is referred to. And if I go over to this next verse, Hebrews 1:14, this word sent, it's not highlighted because it's not in there. But if I go to fourth, it's the same exact word, apostello. So the seven spirits of God in Revelation 5, verse 6, have been sent forth, apostello. In the same way, the angels, the ministering spirits, are sent forth, apostello. And what do? They minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Just like you would think the Holy Spirit goes forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. And so I want you to know that God uses his angels in his own personal ministry. And so the angels are not the Holy Spirit, but the angels bring the Holy Spirit. They minister to our spirits as spirits, the Holy Spirit that God has given them. They have chosen God's Spirit, and as a result of choosing his Spirit, they can take that Spirit with them down to the earth, and they could minister to us with that Holy Spirit that they have chosen to use, or chosen to have, rather. And so the Spirit uses us, we don't use the Spirit. I understand that. It's just that nobody's saying the angels are the Holy Spirit, but they are Holy Spirits. That's a very small differentiation that needs to be understood. So going back to this study in Revelation with Daniel, the website, where when you search the phrase seven spirits, it says in Revelation 4, verse 5, that out of the throne proceeds lightning and thunders and voices, and there was seen lamps of fire burning before his throne. So there are lamps of fire burning before the throne. Wait a minute. Didn't it say in Hebrews chapter 1 and also Psalm 104 that the angels are flames of fire? Yes. Psalm 104, verse 4 and Hebrews 1, verse 7 says that angels are flames of fire. In fact, I'm going to bring it up again here. Psalm 104, verse 4, and also Hebrews 1, verse 7. We're going to see that both these verses talk about angels being made spirits, and they are flaming fire, right? And so here it says, of the angels, he saith, his angels are spirits, and his ministers are what? A flame of fire. And so when we're reading in the study that I have at Revelation with Daniel, that there are before his throne flames of fire, the angels are called flames of fire. The angels are called spirits. And so if you have seven spirits before the throne, if you have seven or flames of fire before the throne, seven of them because of those with candlesticks, right? That's the number of them. And later in the book of Revelation, which we have not read yet, it says that there are seven angels standing before the throne. You put all these things together and you realize in Revelation 1, verse 4, the seven spirits, they are seven angels dedicated to the work of God, ready and willing to do anything he says because they have chosen his Spirit and they are the ones doing ministry for us on the earth. Remember the ladder in Genesis 28, verses 11 through 13? Where angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which that's what John chapter 1, verse 51 says. Jesus is the ladder from heaven to earth. He's on the earth because he's human. He's in heaven because he's divine. He's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man as well. And the voice of God was spoken from heaven. You can see that God is standing above in the heavens speaking. The Son of Man is referred to as the ladder. Angels are descending and ascending upon the ladder. And what are they doing? It says in Genesis 28, verses 11 through 13, he is bringing the message from the angels are bringing the message from the Father to, it would be Jacob who was dreaming. And so they were ministering to Jacob. They were ministering to Daniel as well. They were ministering to John the Revelator. They were ministering to Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, also in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were ministering to the Tree of Life. They kept the Adam and Eve, the unfaithful, away from that Tree of Life so that they'd be able to not become immortal sinners. And so angels are constantly doing what God has commanded them to do. Seven, as is mentioned many times in the book of Revelation, is a number of completeness. And so the completion of the ministration that God has of his spirit through the ministering spirits, which are angels, that's what's referred to when it's talking about the ministering spirits before his throne. That is referring to the ministration of God through the ministry of his angels. Now, let me go back to what it's saying here in this study online. So it's talking about the lamps of fire, and we know that the angels are referred to as flames of fire. We also know that angels are referred to as spirits. And so these lamps of fire burning before the throne are the seven spirits, right? And so we know, according to the Bible, that's what it means. We're just simply using the Bible to interpret the book of Revelation. And then it says that same word again, before the throne, there was a sea of glass. And it says, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now these beasts, if you haven't studied them, you'd be surprised to learn that in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and 10, if you look at those both together and you do very critical study, you realize these beasts that have the four faces, one like a man, one like an ox, one like an eagle, and a lion. So you have these four faces. These are referring to the angels of Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10. So what you have is these angels in Ezekiel 10. I won't read it all because I'll let you read it on your own. But these angels having wheels are full of eyes round about. Every angel has a wheel and it's part of them. You can just read it and you can see for yourself. So Revelation 4 verse 10, it says 24 elders, which I completely believe are the angels. 24 angels fall down before the Father, him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, which the Father is sitting on. And what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, remember, this is in chapter 4. That's where the Father is on the throne. The Son doesn't even come into that area until chapter 5, where he shows up in verse 5 as a lamb, and then, as a lion, and then in verse 6, he's shown as a lamb. And so this one that created all things for his glory and honor, they were created for his pleasure, and that's referring to the Father right there in Revelation 4, verse 10. Excuse me. So Revelation 5, verse 8, it says, the elders fell down before the Lamb. Okay, the 24 elders. Again, I have studied in my own personal time and believe that those 24 elders are specifically angels. Somebody asked a question, the 24 elders are also angels? I would answer yes. I've got a study on that in the study notes on the book of Revelation, which, by the way, you can find here at Revelation with Daniel. I would suggest that after the, in about, 12 hours or so, feel free to go on to the Revelation with Daniel website and look for the notes. And if you have any problems with getting them, just let me know. I'll show you how to get them for free. They are available as one PDF, but they're also available for free. So I just want the word to get out. And in that study, it shows that using Revelation chapter 5, where the 24 elders are mentioned mostly, kind of in an explanation area there, I was able to show that they, according to my understanding, are angels. So yes, I hope that you find that study informative. So now going back to this idea of the angels or the seven spirits, Revelation 7 verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues, or people and tongues, stood before the throne. So now this is a great multitude. These are not angels, right? And it says, and they stood before the Lamb. See, this is the same word, before and before. And so they were clothed in white, and they had palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne. So wait a minute, angels are before the throne here too? Yes. And about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces. So these are the angels. These are the 24 elders, which are the representatives from the other worlds, the angels as well. And the four beasts, they fell before the throne. So again, here is pictured where we have angels before the throne, just as we have the great multitude before the throne. And it says they worshiped God and they gave thanksgiving to him. Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before, that's the word, before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple, and he sits on the throne, and they shall dwell with him. Now, again, this is the 144,000, not the angels. But we have seen again in that section that the angels are before the throne. Notice, chapter 8, verse 2. I saw seven angels which stood before God. Where is God? He's on his throne. So these are seven angels standing before God. So I'm going to stop this study right here in this section, and you can do, well, maybe I'll just go a little bit further. But I'm going to just go a little bit further, and you can do this study on your own. The reason being is these study notes are available. If you do have questions, please let me know. But with all this study, putting them together, knowing that the spirits are angels and the flames of fire are angels, and when you put all those things together and you put the pieces together, you realize the book of Revelation is symbolically speaking of the ministration of angels. But I do want to look at one more section in this study. Revelation 9:13, it says, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from before the, or from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So the golden altar is before God. And we see that there were, in chapter 8, verse 2, these are the seven angels that are standing right there next to the golden altar, okay, that are before God. And there's one more angel there that has incense, and I believe that specifically is Jesus. But when you're looking at Revelation 11:4, and it says the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that are standing before the God of the whole earth, these two olive trees and the two candlesticks are one and the same. You can see that as you study Revelation 11 and also Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4 says, this is now just the end portion of this chapter, but then Zechariah answered and said, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Now you'll notice the angel that he's speaking to did not answer. And so after kind of maybe an awkward moment of silence, he answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? What are these things? And the angel answered and said, well, you don't know what these things are? I said, no, my Lord. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, those two anointed ones, we know that the anointed cherubs are the ones in the sanctuary next to the candlesticks or the seven branches that are referred to there in Zechariah 4. We're talking about the two covering cherubs on the end of the mercy seat that are standing before the God of the whole earth. And so, again, a reference to angels. And the olive trees and the golden branches from the candlestick are used together, and these are the angels emptying from themselves the golden oil that will help the light burn. And so you can see all that referenced there in the book of Revelation chapter 1. It is, again, a reference to the holy angels. The reason why I say it's a reference to the holy angels and not just the Spirit is because I have come to understand differently than I used to about the Holy Spirit. My latest understanding from about a year or a year and a half back is that the Holy Spirit is not separated from God. It's not a separate entity that travels around without a body and fills people or things. I do believe that we can have God's Holy Spirit, but it is through the ministration of intelligences, intelligent angels, agents, or channels whereby God will be able to send his Spirit to us. That is why we have a description of the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man in John 1, verse 51, or also angels ascending and descending upon the ladder in Genesis 28, verses 11 through 13, if you wanted to write that down and check it out. And so the angels receive intelligently the spirit or mind, will, desire, character of God. And as they receive that, they now have that same mind, will, desire, character of God. They have that life, his motivation, his enduring principles. And as a result of choosing those, they are able to bring that same spirit, mind, character, life, intelligence, holiness, down to us who are on the earth. And so God doesn't leave heaven, either personally or by his spirit, every single time somebody has a prayer or needs encouragement. What he does, though, is he sends angels, just like he did to his son in the Garden of Gethsemane or in the wilderness of temptation. The angels encourage, the angels strengthen, the angels give direction. Now, has Jesus personally come down and visited his people? Absolutely. You can see it in Genesis 18 and 19 with the experience of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. We also know that there were people that somebody said, I totally agree with the spirit being a not a separate identity. Thank you for your words. And somebody else said, amen. And somebody said, it's just me, or is this going a little fast? Sorry, it is going a little fast. My apology. And the reason being is the notes are online. I'm trying to show you kind of the bigger picture, not necessarily the details. And somebody said, check out Christ Object Lessons 408. Yes, please look up the phrase golden oil in the book Christ Object Lessons, and you'll be absolutely stunned. So I was just saying that God sends angels to the earth to be able to minister to his people. That's why Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation? Yes. It's because God uses his angels to minister his Holy Spirit, because his Holy Spirit is not a separate entity. The Bible says something very interesting in James chapter 2, verse 26. The body without the spirit is what? Dead. So we were made in God's image, right? And if our body, let's just go all the way back. If Adam's body without the spirit was not living, but was dead, so that it would have meant that if Christ never breathed into the body of Adam the breath of life, Adam would still be dead, right? So Adam, as a body, without the spirit of life, was dead. That was before sin. And so Adam and Eve, you know, Eve brought forth from Adam, were in the image of God and his son. That's why there's the let us make man in our image. It's Adam and Eve illustrating the relationship between the Father and the Son. So this body, even yours now after sin, just as it was before sin, without the Spirit is dead. And guess what? The Spirit without the body is also dead. So you can't have one without the other. You can't have the other without one. And so the body and the Spirit together equals a living soul. And so if Adam, before the fall, was created in God's image and he needed his spirit to live, and if he would have been separated from his spirit, he would not have been living, then it shows to me that God cannot be separated from his spirit and still live. Now, I know, I used to say it too, and everybody says it, but you're talking about God, and God is not like human, and he's not a human, and he is much greater than we are. Well, yes, but what we have been shown about God is that God created man in his own image, without sin, before the fall. That's what we see Adam being, is dead without his spirit. And so if that was God creating man in his image, that tells us something by inspiration using the book of Genesis itself. God is connected to his spirit. Now, can somebody receive of the same mind, spirit, character, personality of God, and God doesn't die because he's not separated from the spirit? No, somebody's just received that same mind, character, life. And so when you receive that as an angel, and you take that down to those who want by prayer and asking, that same mind, that same character, that same life, that same power, that same energy to continue on in the endurance of keeping God's commandments through the trials that will come upon us, that's when we, as asking God's blessings, receive that same mind, character, personality. And so for me, it's taken a lot of the mystery out of the Spirit, and now I can have God's Holy Spirit, knowing that it's his will, it's his mind, it's his life, it's his character, it's his holy attributes. And so when I meet temptation and I've prayed and I've asked God for power, by God's grace, and it's Christ in me through the character, mind, life, etc., the Spirit, I will be able to choose God's continuing Spirit leading my life rather than the spirit of the enemy who's trying to get me to go away from the Spirit of Christ. So I feel like that's really helped me. I'm hoping that's good and helpful to you as well. Now, so just real quick, are there any questions about what I've said? Somebody just wrote in, Liz, I'm a little confused. Is the Holy Spirit not the Spirit of Christ and his Father? It is, absolutely. Not a third being, but their spirit? Yes, I absolutely believe it is. And let me show you why I believe that is from the Bible. Let's see, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, I believe is where it starts. Let's see, verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So it's the Spirit of God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, yes, it is the Spirit of Christ as well. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, of course, by his Spirit, not physically, because he's physically right now in heaven, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, that was the Spirit of the Father that raised up Jesus, if the Spirit of the Father that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, that's the Father's Spirit that dwells in you. So yes, remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says that it is, we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me. How? It is Christ's Spirit. But what is Christ's Spirit? Christ's Spirit is his Father's Spirit. I've got a study on YouTube at Revelation with Daniel. You'll be able to see it's called Whose Words Did Christ Speak? And if you want that link, I can share it with you. Just send me a contact through revelationwithdaniel.com. But if you go through that study and the notes, you'll realize that the Bible says very clearly, Christ did not choose his own words, his own mind, his own will. He chose the will, the mind, the words of his Father. And so that's why the Bible teaches in Philippians 2, verse 5, and I'll just go to it so you can see it with me. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, it does not say, let this mind be in you, which was Christ's, but rather it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whose mind was in Christ Jesus? It was the Father's mind. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So the end goal of every Christian everywhere, the entire plan of salvation, the whole purpose of God sending his Son is so that you could come to the Father. That's the incredible truth about the Father and his Son and the whole plan of salvation. We get to the Father. And so that's why we have the Father's Spirit, which is also the Spirit of the Son, because the Son did not live by his own will. Not my will, but thine be done. And so that's how Christ ended up at the end of his life, and that's how he died on the cross. Not my spirit, but I yield my spirit into your hands, my Father. And after he said that, he gave up the ghost. And so I'm hoping that's helpful. Are there any other questions about the seven spirits in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4? I will wait just a moment for somebody to... there's another one here. It says, makes sense. If God's Spirit is... Let me see here. If God's Spirit is separate from himself, then we all have the right to promote spiritualism. Exactly. Thank you for saying that. This is something we are warned about. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am so glad you've been able to see that about the idea of spiritualism. If a spirit disembodied is separated from somebody and travels around, either ghosting or haunting or doing miracles or something like that, that's what we know as spiritualism. A body apart from the spirit is dead. And so spiritualists that read your palms and claim to see the future and things like that, they're the ones that talk about spirits, just like with Saul in the story of King Saul going to the Witch of Endor. She said, I see somebody that looks like this. And the Bible says Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He didn't see that it was Samuel. He didn't have Samuel come and say anything to him. It was the spirit of the devil that started speaking to him personally because he went on the grounds of the enemy. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8, do we search from the dead to find the living? No, we don't search or seek the dead to talk to the living. We talk to the living. The dead know not anything. And so, let's see. There's another question here. What is the conventional teaching on it, on the seven spirits or the Holy Spirit? Well, let me say this. What I used to teach as an Adventist pastor is that the Spirit was God. So there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, I know many, 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 many people around the world teach that. It's called tritheism. Now, it's a little different than Trinitarianism. I was more a tritheist as a pastor than I was a Trinitarian, although I was kind of a mixture of the two because I didn't really understand the difference. But I was more tritheist than I was Trinitarian. And let me say it this way. When you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you have a real problem with that. Let me just show you, for example, in the book of the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and come up here, and I'm going to make it bigger, and I'm going to search something. God, whoops, sorry, wrong place here. God the Son. And what's going to happen is you will find that my Bible program says a book name must be entered at the selection point. So I'm going to hit OK. And I'm not going to be looking for a book name. I don't want verses. I want words. So I'm going to look specifically for God the Son. I'm going to hit enter. And it's like, wait a minute. The phrase you entered cannot be found. Would you like to search with a flex search? I'm going to say no. I don't want to search with a flex search. What that means is, something that is like what I'm saying. I want to find those specific words, but problem is those specific words don't appear. So what if God the Spirit? So looking for the phrase God the Spirit says, the phrase you entered cannot be found. Would you like to search with flex search? No, I don't want to. I want to search specifically what the Bible teaches. The Bible never teaches God the Son. It never teaches God the Spirit. But if you went, and I'll show you real quick, and you found, I'll just make it bigger again. If you found the phrase, I'm going to make it, there we go. If I found, let's see, Son of God, then, whoa, there's 48 different times. You can see that number right there next to the mouse. 48 different times that phrase comes up. Now, what if I searched Spirit of God? And the phrase Spirit of God ends up coming up 26 different times. Oh, wait a minute. So, instead of saying something like God the Son and God the Spirit, should I be saying the Son of God and the Spirit of God? The answer is yes, absolutely yes. So God has a Son and God has a Spirit. And God hath sent forth his Son and God hath also sent forth the Spirit of his Son. I'll show you that with that where the Bible says that in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Notice what it says. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, okay, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Why did he do it? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So in other words, to be part of the family. Now, verse 6 says, because you are sons, notice what it says, just like it's highlighted right now in purple up here. It says, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Excuse me. So wait a minute. God hath sent forth his Son in verse 4. And then in verse 6, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. The answer is yes. Son, God, the Holy Spirit. But then I realized these phrases are not biblical. So then what does it mean? Does it mean God is one, expressed in three, or three in one? No, that's Trinitarianism, and I completely reject that because the Bible never says anything about it. And so tritheism is kind of the same thing as well. It doesn't have that kind of teaching, the Bible, that is. There's no God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. There is God the Father. You can see that. I think it's 13 times. But so when you start using the terms the Bible uses, and you realize that God actually has a Son, and he has given his Son his Spirit, and he has sent forth both his Son and the Spirit of his Son, things start to make a lot of sense. And there's a ton of verses that you can find on this. I've got lots of studies online. If you are more interested in this study or topic, please let me know, and I will send you link after link after link after link until you've got links all over the place. So I've just put a lot of stuff online. That's why I'm saying that, is because there's plenty out there. And so let me see. There's a couple more phrases here. The 24 elders. What is the conventional teaching about the 24 elders? I don't think there's really a conventional teaching on it. Like, does everybody say everything the same? I don't know. But I've studied both. I know that many say that in Revelation chapter 5, because it says, thou hast redeemed us, that it's referring to men, because men are redeemed. But if you take all what the different translations say using the Bible, and also taking the Greek, how it's used, and then seeing the context of all the way that it's referred to as the elders, I felt I had to come away with a better understanding, more clear, that it's the angels, not the men on the earth. So yes, I totally am familiar with the understanding that when Christ was crucified, there were people that came out of the graves. And then when Christ ascended in Ephesians 4, he took captivity captive. And that could be the 24 elders. I know that. I have studied it. I just have no longer come to that conclusion. Feel free to believe differently on it. I don't think that you have to believe just like I do. I'm just sharing what I've studied and what I've learned. So I do have notes on it. If you're interested, I could share with anybody who's interested on the 24 elders. And you could either say I'm wrong or I'm right. And if I'm wrong, please pray for me, because I really do want to know what's true. And I will absolutely change, because I used to believe the 24 elders were humans. Now I don't. I used to believe that God the Son was a true thing, but now I don't. I believe it's the Son of God. I used to believe in the Trinity, but now I don't. I believe there's one God with a Son that has given his Spirit to his Son, that gives it to us through the ministration of holy angels. And so I've changed my understanding lots, and I'm totally willing to do it more. So feel free to study. Let me know what you find. Please do me the favor. Don't send me book after book after book. I try to make my studies pretty short so that people can consume them in a short time and do their own study. If you can give me bullet points, that'll be way better than a 700-page book, because I likely won't read that, just I have so many things to read. So now, to clarify then, the angels are the conduit, messengers of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Liz, thank you. Good point. Philip, you said correct, and I agree. Bele, it says, yes, I think that's what he's saying. That's why he was saying that the Holy Spirit's, but they are not the Holy Spirit. Yes, correct. The testimony of Jesus equals the spirit of prophecy, the will of God in us. Right? Ralph, thank you for the comment. I do have a little bit more of a thought on the spirit of prophecy. It wasn't one of the questions that was sent in beforehand, so I can copy this one, and I will put it in the section that will be covering the questions a little more fully. So maybe I won't answer that one now, because it would take a little bit of more time, but I will say this. The testimony of Jesus and the spirit of prophecy is only found in the book of Revelation a couple of times. And the times that I feel it's most expressive are in chapters 19 and 22. What you find is that the angel, which is Gabriel, it's mine angel according to Christ. Christ says, I have sent mine angel, and I believe that's Gabriel. And so Gabriel was with John, and Gabriel was able to, how would you say, explain to John, let me just read it for you. You know what? I am going to answer just quickly, because I feel like I've already gone far enough to start answering. So it says in Revelation 19, verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John falling at the feet of the angel. He said unto me, whoa, don't do that. See, thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So wait a minute. The angel said, I am your fellow servant, so I'm a servant like you are, and I am of your brethren that have something. What does the angel have? The angel has the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wait a minute. Are you saying that the angel, like John, has the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy? Yes, I believe that's what it's saying. And so the angel, he has the testimony of Jesus. He has what testimony Jesus has given him. And what is that testimony? Remember, Jesus said in John 16 that the Spirit will not speak of himself, but what he is told, that is what he will speak. It's in John 16. I think it's like 13 or 14, somewhere in there. And what you can find is that the angels are told by the Spirit of Christ, which is the mind, character, personality, life of Christ. The angels are told what to say. They ascend and descend upon the Son of Man, which is the latter. And they give messages to John in this case. John was going to worship the angel, but the angel says, no, I'm just like you are. I have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. He's the one that gave it. Because remember, the Revelation 1 verse 1 says that God gave the revelation to Jesus, who gave it to an angel, who gave it to John. Now, some people say, and I used to say it, God gave the revelation to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave it to the angel, and the angel took it and brought it to John. But the Bible doesn't say that. It's true that through the Holy Spirit, the Father revealed it to Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave it to the angel, and through the Holy Spirit, the angel gave it to John. But there's no third being there in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit scenario. It's the Father and the Son, and they both have the Holy Spirit. And so they give that Holy Spirit to those that are willing to minister. Anyways, I do believe that Revelation chapter 19, is saying that the angel has the Holy Spirit. The angel has the testimony that Jesus has given. The angel has the words that Jesus has commanded him to give. And just like John, having received those words from the angel that was from Christ, which ultimately came from the Father, we have that testimony of Jesus. And just like the angels do now. Look at Revelation chapter 22, and it's verse 8, I think. It says, I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. He was so impressed. But in verse 29, he said, no, don't do that. See thou, do it not. I am your fellow servant. In other words, I'm working with you, just like you're working, I'm working. I am of your brethren. Notice, the prophets. So, wait a minute. Just last time, angel, Gabriel, you said that you had the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Now you're saying, I am of your fellow servant, the prophets? I'm one of the fellow servants, the prophets? Yes. Angels are prophets. Angels have received the words that God has given through his Son, and they are able to tell others what words are that they've been given, or what the words are that they've been given. And those words sometimes, many times, have prophetic application. And so the angels have the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. Therefore, the angels are prophets, just like John was called to be a prophet, or Daniel, or Mark, or Luke, or Paul, or Moses. And so it is God working in and through us. Yes, I do believe that, but it's also the ministration of the angels. So that's what I'm saying. I didn't think you were wrong necessarily, just maybe a broader explanation. And I realize, Ralph, you had a very short statement, so it wasn't all that you believed. It's just a quick question, but I gave, I think, a fuller answer from my understanding. Now, you may come to a different one. If I'm wrong, please help me understand. Now, Philippe's, that's a question to him. Who are the angels or the elders according to Daniel? You mean me, like Daniel? That would be angels, which are representatives. I would say it that way. Philip said they're angels. He would prefer representatives. I'm fine. I think they can be both, but Philippe, keep studying. So blessings. Thank you for asking the links. Would you mind sending me that request from revelationwithdaniel.com? I don't know that I'm going to be able to keep all this stuff here. So if you could do that, I will send you the links. I'd appreciate it. I thought it was the first fruits that were raised. I do agree with you. Yes, it is the first fruits. And that was another question. By the way, tomorrow morning, we're coming up to an hour here. So I'm going to go through some of these questions quickly. But I'm trying to keep these to an hour just for the sake of everybody having a planned time and something you can look forward to. But tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, which is Sunday morning, April 5th, we're going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to keep going through these questions in chapter one. And let me just tell you what some of the questions are, just to give you or to whet your appetite. So the first question, which we dealt with in the majority of this one, was, who are the seven spirits? The next question is, Jesus is called the first begotten of the dead, but wasn't Moses raised first? Good question. We're going to look at that. Revelation 1 verse 5 says Jesus died. Was that the second death? Good question. We're going to look at that. And then another question was, I've got too many notes here. I can't even figure out which one. Revelation 1 verse 8, why does Revelation 1 8 call Jesus Almighty? Ooh, good question. That one's actually not very difficult, so I want you to come back for that one. And are both the Father and the Son the Alpha and the Omega? That's a good question, too. These are all right from Revelation chapter 1. There's another one here. It says, what are the eyes as a flame of fire? And so, because I just dealt with the testimony of Jesus very briefly, I'm not going to answer that one again. But what are the eyes of the flame of fire? So come back tomorrow if you are interested, April 5th, 2020, 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, right at the same link, and you have the password. So let me go through just a couple more of these questions. Can we have your notes about the 24 elders? Please send me that email through Revelation with Daniel. I noticed that Uriah Smith was silent on certain of these topics. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was, as I will be too on certain topics. Some of your questions that you ask, I'm probably not even going to deal with. Can I have your thoughts on Ezekiel chapter 1? I haven't been able to get Ezekiel's vision. Stephen, yes, please. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and copy that over to my section of questions here. And then Bella said thank you. Well, anyways, that's your comments and your questions. I really, really appreciate you being here with me. And praise God for, we have 42 people in lots of different places in the world. And I don't know, maybe there's more people with you. In fact, now I'm going to see for just a second if I can go and look at all the different people here. So can you see now everybody? Philippe and Israel and Lisette and Ralph and Richard and Wally, Benjamin. There's David and Liz and Naomi and Justin and all these people. Praise the Lord. Yes. Zadok, thank you. He said, praise God, great study. I appreciate that. And we have Wendy and Andrea and Mario, Bridget. Some people I can't see totally, but Philip and Diana. Lisa says, my girls and I, thank you. She texted me, so praise the Lord. God bless you all, and thank you for coming. I look forward to having more people either tomorrow or next weekend. We're going to do the same thing, Sabbath morning, 9 a.m., Sunday morning, 9 a.m., and we're going to try to go through the questions in chapter one until we feel like we've got some of those questions figured out. Then we're going to go into chapter two with the first churches, and then chapter three with the next churches. And we're just going to try to go through Revelation. You guys ready for that? I hope so. So God bless you guys. Let's pray together one more time. Holy Father, I thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to meet together. We pray that you would lead us and guide us as we look for more answers to your question, to the questions we have in your holy word. We pray that you would lead and guide us. Give us wisdom and grace and understanding. Help us to know more than what we know now in preparation for the times that are coming before us. We need to know who you are and how you work so that we can be able to work with you in the midst of this crazy world. We thank you for this opportunity, praying your blessings on all this, and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.